Vignette number 91 from Zen is right here. Teaching stories and anecdotes of Shunryu Suzuki. One time I was at Sokoji in the afternoon on some business when Suzuki Roshi asked to see the cherry blossoms that were in bloom at the Japanese tea garden in Golden Gate Park. I had never been alone with him before outside the temple. All the way there, he said nothing, but just sat calmly looking out at the passing scene. As I drove up to the garden and the profusion of pink blossoms came into view, he simply gazed at them for a moment, then said, "Very beautiful. Let's go back now." That was Mike Dixon in San Francisco. It says circa 1966. Really? Mike was around much earlier than then. Anyway, for some reason I say that. Probably he told me that. Suzuki always wanted to get back to Sokoji because he had, you know, he made a vow when he came to America. The chapter in Crooked Cucumber, the first one's called A New Leaf, I think. You know, and he says it. He says, "When I came to America, I vowed to turn over a new leaf." He felt he'd been, you know, just slacking off too much. He'd lost interest. He didn't, you know, he wasn't happy just running a temple in Japan for like a church. You know, he wanted Zazen students. And so he got that in America. So he always, if he was out, he never slacked up, you know. He would, you know, he would enjoy himself. He would be at ease. It would all be fine. But when it was time, he'd say, "Let's go back." Now here, he's outside the tea garden. There's no social pressure on him to stay. So he sees it and says, let's go back. Now Mike was driving. You notice he says nothing was said on the way there. Mike's a very quiet person. He's Mike Dixon. You know, there's a page for him. There's a lot for him on Kuke.com. There's a podcast with him. Mike, he's a quiet person. And, you know, I'm sure Suzuki appreciated that if I'd been driving him, especially when I was younger, good Lord, who knows, I would have been blabbing, asking him questions. Or maybe I would have gotten real zen and not said a word and been like bolt upright driving him over there. But one thing I imagine when we got there and he said, "Very beautiful, let's go back now," I think I might have said, "No, you should get out. You can't come here without going in. Look, you're not going to miss anything at Sokoji. You're being disrespectful to the garden." I would have expressed myself. That's not right. These people put a lot of energy to that. You're an important Japanese visitor. Now, come on, let's go. Well, he's already been there. But, and I might have failed, but might have succeeded. Anyway, I mean, that's how I feel when I hear that. I think, "Don't do that, Roshi. Come on, get out of the car. Go walk around. It's a beautiful place." And also, it's the people, the caretakers of it are the family. I don't know. They're not any longer caretakers of it then after the war. But before the war, they were the Hagiwaras, who were the most prominent family members of Sokoji. And the senior Hagiwara was sent over by the Emperor Meiji to San Francisco to create that garden. So it's a big deal. Okay. Well, it's good to be single-minded and to be dedicated and not to be distracted by everything. But come on, let up a little. Huh? Smell the cherry blossoms. This has been a Cuke Audio mini podcast. I'm DC Poobah of Cuke Audio and Cuke Archives, preserving the legacy of Shunryu Suzuki and those whose paths crossed his, and anything else that comes to mind. I'm coming to you from Sanur. It's raining outside. I'm making no attempt to block it out. I hope it doesn't drown me out. But I doubt it. That's great. We needed rain. It's rainy season. And I know it's rained enough elsewhere, but not here. The garden's drinking it up. And anyway, I'm here with Doggett Bandita, Feline Cuchita, who's at her neighbor's house as usual, except when it's time to eat. And dear lovely Katrinka, who's waiting for me to finish working and come to bed. And I'm wishing you and yours and all of us a grand awakening. Thank you.